from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Anybody here love to fish? Do we have any fishermen with us? If you are, in the comments section, yeah, say I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing. I am not. Like, even if you're not into fishing, you've probably had an experience or two with it. You know, if you remember the first fish you ever caught, my first fish was a tiny little bluegill at the lake with my dad. He was right with me the entire time. I was like 6 or 7, and I was so excited to catch this fish. Remember how it felt when the bobber would go down, you know, and it would shake a little bit, the line would pull tight, and you felt a fish at the end of the line. It was crazy. It felt so good. Remember the feeling of pulling the fish in? That was exciting. Or the feeling when you had a fish, like your line was tight, you could feel the fish, but then he got away. You know, remember that? I hated that. The one that got away. How about these guys? If you're really into fishing, you've probably got a whole bunch of this stuff. I went to Bass Pro Shops. There are aisles and aisles and aisles of these kinds of lures. There's these. There's this. One's called a crankbait. This thing, I guess, is real shiny, and it kind of gets in the way, gets the attention of a fish. I don't know how they know, but they know. You know, some smell good to a walleye. Some, when you pull them through the water, they mimic a fish or some animal that's hurt, you know. So I guess, I don't even know. Maybe that's good for a fish. This stuff will hook a fish, though. Regardless of what the bait looks like, there's always a hook. Let me say that again. Regardless of what the bait looks like, there's always a hook. Then there's live bait. I didn't bring any worms with me today. But you know that whole thing. I mean, it's just minnows or grubs. You ever hear, like, what is a grub? You can use a grub to catch a fish. Google those images. Just put grub into your phone. That'll get you ready for lunch. It's all bait. And there's always a hook. So let me ask you this question. What tempts you? Or to say it a different way, what lures you? Maybe it's bread. You're Italian, maybe you love bread. Anybody ever try to do the Whole 30 diet? It's this plan that cuts out bread and all carbs for 30 days, and it's horrible. It's like 30 days of being mad all the time. You know, if you don't think that temptation actually exists, try the Whole 30. Oh my, you will see. There will be moments when you think you'll go postal if you don't have even just a little piece of bread. Some of us are tempted to gossip. You know, some are tempted to lie. Sometimes it's just easier to lie, and you get tempted by that. Some of us are tempted by alcohol. We know that all too well, or other substances. Some of us get tempted by money, more specifically, easy money. Maybe, you know, you can cheat at work or on your taxes or on your reimbursements. It would add to your paycheck, and that's tempting. Like, no one would ever know. Now, all those things are tempting for sure. But today, in our Hot One series, we're going to talk about a very specific form of temptation. This specific form is the kind of temptation that if you're not aware and prepared for it, it can destroy you. It's sexual temptation. Uh-oh, you picked the wrong day to come to church. Now, if you're new to Verve or even new to church, we don't talk about this topic a lot, but it's a hot one for sure. And it's also not neutral. You know, when I said the words sexual temptation, you all felt something. For some, you felt immediate shame or guilt from something in your past or something that's going on right now with you. For some, you remembered a secret from your past or some broken relationship, you know, in your past. For some, you thought about an affair that's happening right now, and it's all too real for you. Sexual temptation is a topic that's anything but neutral. It's real. It's pretty normal. It's somewhat scandalous. It's part of being human. So let's talk about it. It's a hot one. Some of you know that I've worked with students for over 30 years as a youth pastor or coach. I speak at camps, I'm on the board of a local school, all that kind of stuff. And I've talked about purity and sexual temptation with kids for a long time. And one of the basic truths that I love teaching kids is that they can have a pure life. Like, it's possible, even in 2022. Well, it's true for adults too. You can live a pure life. And if you do live a pure life, it will be great for your future. All of your relationships will be stronger and more meaningful. Your personal confidence will rise. Like, you'll like yourself more. You'll be proud of who you are. Your marriage or your future marriage will be a ton better. Your relationship with God will be honoring. So that will make it easier and clearer and less frustrating. How great is that? Check this verse out. Matthew 5:8 says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. That is a promise to you. Now, I know what some of us are thinking. You know, it's like, oh man, you don't know me. You don't know where I've been or what I've been a part of. You know, sexual purity, that ship sailed a long time ago. I know some of us are thinking that. Well, to you, I want you to read this. Look at this promise. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Look what it says. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Read that. You might not believe that can be true, but it's true. It's true truth. And this is for everybody. You're not any worse than anybody else. You're also not better than anybody else. Now, this topic is tough. But so are you. And listen, God wants purity for you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for this talk. I was pretty stressed out about this message. There's people that are praying for you right now also. So here's what we're going to do. I want to parallel this concept of purity with a story in Genesis chapter 39, and I want to be real world and practical about sexual temptation. This story, you're going to love it. The story is about a guy named Joseph that actually did this. He fought off sexual temptation to live a pure life. He controlled his body in a really tough situation. So let's look at what he did. Let's model what he did. First, learn to resist. Learn to resist. Check this out. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. And so we can stop right there. You see, we probably hate Joseph. You know, I mean, he's like perfect. He looks really good. He's probably got tons of muscles and he's tan. He's like a Brad Pitt or the Magic Mike guy or Vince Antonucci, right? Well, after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. So Joseph works in this palace and he's like a servant to his master. His master's name is Potiphar. And his wife is probably not a bad-looking woman, right? I mean, he's one of the most powerful people on earth when this is written. So she's probably runner-up to the Miss Egypt, you know, in the Miss Egypt contest. So she takes notice of Joseph, and she says, come to bed with me. Look at that. What? She says, come to bed with me. Guys, you will probably never hear that sentence. But Joseph, look what he does. He refuses. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. Genesis chapter 39. This is awesome. Joseph refused. See that? Potiphar was one of the most powerful people on the planet, but he still refuses his wife. He refused to go to bed with her. We have got to learn how to resist. I was thinking back to the first time that I saw pornography. You guys ever hear of pornography? Okay, we're talking about real things here at church today. I was little, you guys. I was young. So there was this caboose near the downtown of the small town that I grew up in. It was this abandoned train car. This would not happen today, I don't think. But one day, I'm riding my bike with some of my friends, and we go into this caboose. We, like, park our bikes. We walk into this, and someone left a magazine in there. I mean, it was right there. was like a Playboy type magazine. So, you know, just press pause. Back in the day, there were magazines. Anybody remember magazines? You know, they're made of paper. They used to be a thing, right? Well, anyway, I'm a little kid and I see this magazine and I was like, it was crazy. I can remember turning the pages. I had never seen images and it blew my mind. Like, what the heck is this? So I put it aside and I just prayed. No, I didn't do that. I was like, what? It was crazy. What is this? It wasn't my fault. You know, it was just there. Back in the day, you'd have to go out of your way to find pornography, right? I mean, you'd pay off your buddy to steal a magazine, maybe from his dad, or I don't know, or you'd find the fuzzy station on cable TV. Remember the fuzzy station on cable TV? You do. It's not so much like that now. Now, it's right here. It's right here. It's this easy. And you know the stats. This is a cultural reality. Porn isn't easily accessible. It's like epidemic in our society and in the church. It's everywhere. Friends, it's never been this difficult to resist. For men, for women, no matter your age or your stage, it starts super young. These are the reasons it's so terribly difficult to resist. Check this out. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." This is one of the tactics and strategies of the evil one. He'll try to get you hooked into sexual sin. This verse says, you can resist. You can. And when you do, the devil will flee from you. Once there's some resistance, you will see that you'll get past it. It's right there in black and white. So here's what I want to do quickly. I want to give you three practical ways to resist. I got these from a pastor friend in the Midwest. They're awesome. Surf it, confess it, uproot it. First, surf it. Therapists call this technique urge surfing. Sexual temptation is like waves. Like when you get tempted, you don't realize that it's like a wave. You think it's just the reality now. It's going to be this way. But it's really a wave. The wave comes on and it doesn't last forever. So this urge technique is you've got to learn to surf the wave. And so here's what that means. When you're tempted, men, women, your temptation hits and you're like, oh my gosh, have your phone set, have a timer set on your phone for a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes and tell yourself that for that little time frame, you're going to honor God. For this minute, for these 2 minutes, I am going to honor God. You'll be amazed at the freedom that this leads you to. Because let's say you're going to resist for 5 minutes. You'll be in the middle of that 5 minutes, like at the 3 minute mark, and you'll get caught up in something else. You'll realize, you know, I was throwing out the garbage or I was making dinner, you know, and you get to a spot where you understand that this truly is just a wave that I can get past. I can surf it. A pastor named Levi Lusco says this. He says, "Now yells louder, but later lasts longer." When sexual temptation comes, it yells. But we need to remember, we got to invest in the future, gain some perspective, even in the midst of the wave. This is so important. Next, confess it. You got to bring it into the light. So if you're in a small group, that's why we talk about this all the time, or if you're on a serving team, you'll get some friends. And you'll have these friends that you can, over the course of time, confess sin to, confess what's going on, bring it into the light. Because when you bring things into the light and you confess them, you disarm the secret. It doesn't hold you anymore. The secret or the scandal is over. Maybe you've heard us talking about joining a Rooted group. In fact, Margaret talked about it last week. Rooted is this 10-week group that's awesome for this. In fact, in week 5 of Rooted, you actually have a chance to confess to one another. You might say, there's no way I'm doing that. Are you crazy? I'm not going to confess that kind of stuff to somebody I don't know. Well, remember, it's in week 5. You've gotten to know these people. I was a part of this. I did it. You can do it. It's not easy, but it's one of the ways to resist. Check this verse out. When I refused to confess my sin, Psalm 32 says, my body wasted away. Some of you are like, yeah, I've been there before. I know what that's like. When you harbor sin and you refuse to bring it into the light, it wrecks you. You know that things that grow in the dark are things that you don't want. Wouldn't it be great if our church, our online community, was a place that we could talk about these things? You get into a group, an online group. You can do Rooted online. We'd be able to hold each other up. We'd be able to pray for each other. That's what you do in a small group. That's what you do in a Rooted group. And those are going to start in a couple of months. Consider joining those. So first, you surf it. Next, you confess it. And then third, you uproot it. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but let me explain. Often, the habits of sexual sin come from wounds that come from a traumatic experience, something that happened years ago, maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And often, it's something that happened to you. Now, not all the time, but many times, there's a wound from something that's happened in your past, in your life. Sometimes, the wound is generational. Many times, the wound is something that you're not even in touch with. So get this. It takes work not just to uproot it, but it takes work to find it and figure out what it is. Often, this uprooting is done with the help of a Christian counselor or a group of brothers and sisters that can help you through. I can tell you stories of guys that I've sat with, guys that I've counseled, who waited until their family exploded to figure out why. To uproot the why behind their behavior. One guy kept having affairs. He told me that he couldn't control any of it. He just kept doing these things, even though he was losing everything that he loved. Another guy was addicted to porn, and he couldn't figure out why. Why he kept going back to the same path and the same neurosis. He had no idea. So it took his family getting blown up to get him to figure out the why of his lifestyle. Why would you wait for that? Why lose your family over this? Why go through a divorce, only see your kids every other week? Why spend a fortune on alimony and lose what you love most? There's a pretty good chance that if something in your past needs to be uprooted, you know it. You probably sense it right now. You might not be in touch with exactly what it is, but there's something. And you probably know right now, friends, get to the why. So surf it, confess it, and uproot it. All right. So number one, Joseph showed us we got to learn to resist. Next is learn to remember. Let's head back to Genesis chapter 39 and the story of Joseph. Check this out. My master, Joseph is saying, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. And he has held nothing back from me except you. He's talking to Potiphar's wife, because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Genesis 39. I love this. Look what Joseph does. He's talking about Potiphar. He's talking about his wife and all of that. And then in the last verse, he brings God into the equation. See that? If I fall to this sin, it would be a great sin against God. Why does he do this? Why does Joseph do this? Check out 1 Corinthians 6 for the answer. It says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Look at that. For God bought you with a high price. He's talking about Jesus, Jesus' death for you and I on the cross. So it says you must honor God with your body. That is a classic, powerful truth. God's word is saying, if you're a follower of Jesus, you now have the Holy Spirit in you. Like Jesus is being formed in you. That's why sexual sin is such a big deal. Now, because you have God in the mix, you've got to remember, you're not your own. That is new to a lot of you. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. That's why Jesus Christ, his own life, his death on the cross, because of this, the Bible says, honor God with your body. So God's saying, remember this, just like Joseph did. In the heat of the moment, when the waves of sexual temptation overwhelm you, I know it's crazy, remember. Now, it's pretty difficult in the heat of the moment, right? You know, I know some of you, yeah, it's really difficult. We have to learn to remember. So to fight sexual temptation, number one, learn to resist. Number two, learn to remember. And then number three, learn to run. Learn to run. Check this out. One day, no one else was around when he went to do his work. Joseph just came in, started doing his work. She came, Potiphar's wife, and grabbed him by his cloak, you know, by his clothes, basically. And she's demanding, like this lady's demanding, come on, sleep with me. Well, Joseph tore himself away. He left his cloak in her hand. And he ran from the house. He ran away naked, not wearing anything. He didn't stay to negotiate with Miss Egypt. You know, we should reason about this and all that. No, man, he just ran. He distanced himself. He ran. 1 Corinthians 6:18, the Bible says, run away from sexual sin. Run. I want you to see this. Look at that, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Read it. How clear is the Bible? Run. Run, run, run. Run from sexual sin. God is saying, I'm trying to save your life. So we run from and we get to run to the Father. That's how it works. And we get filled up again. We get our identity back. Our identity is not from sex. It's not from the conquest. It's not from the pursuit. It's not from all that. It's from running to the Father. That's how we were made. We were made to crave that identity. And if you've messed up in this area of your life, you feel shame, you know, and you just doubt that you can ever feel purity again. Run to the Father. Now, I can hear some of the thoughts now. It's like, dude, you're out of touch, man. God's out of touch. You just don't understand the power of these temptations. It's so strong in the heat of the moment. You know? Does God say anything about that? He does. Check this out. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. It's in the Bible. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation, the wave, to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out. Look at that. He will show you a way out so that you can endure. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You're not the only one who has faced sexual temptation. You're not special in that way. And God has been faithful in this all through the years. History. It's a well-worn path. Sexual temptation is a well-worn path. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. That's a promise. He won't allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And then there's a promise in there. When you're tempted, God will show you a way out. You know what the way out is most of the time? Run. Leave. Get out. You know, we've got to learn to run. It's kind of as simple as that in some ways. Now I'm going to pray this for you in a few minutes. But first, we started this message talking about fishing. Remember? Talking about getting hooked by bait and lures and worms and grubs. Remember? Well, what we're talking about right now, it's kind of a lure. It's attractive. It is attractive when you hear about God's will for your life. He says, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for your life. That's awesome. And the plan is not to harm you or lead you to destruction, God says. He says, I will give you a future and a hope. If you connect with me, I will be your God. And then he says in his word that he will strongly support us. You guys, it's attractive to follow God. It is a trade up. Don't get hooked by sexual temptation. Those things will deceive you. They'll leave you wanting. Instead, you can live, you can learn to live a pure life. You can get connected to God and have a new life. This is for everybody. So keep going. Learn to resist in this sex-crazed culture that we live in. I'm doing this message from Las Vegas, for goodness sakes. It is difficult, but learn to resist. And learn to remember that God is good. You are not your own. You were created for more. And learn to run. You will not be disappointed if you do. That's the truth. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for today. I know there's a lot of things going through all of our minds, and for some who are wrestling with guilt or just don't know if it's possible for us to have a new life, God, I pray, even in this moment, that you would be a presence in their lives, that you would encourage them, encourage their heart, that they're good, they're okay, and that you can be the one to make them new again. If they would connect themselves to you. Father, there are some who have been wrestling and struggling with sexual temptation. Maybe it's pornography or, you know, an affair or something that's happened in their past, and they feel guilty about it. They're weighed down by it. Their confidence is low because of it. Father, pick them up. Give them new vision to resist. Give them new vision to remember, you know? And Father, help them to just run, to run. God, we want to get to know you better. Some of us want to go deeper and deeper in our relationship with you. This is a real thing in our world, sexual temptation. We trust you to show us the way. Show us the way out, just like you promised. Pray all these things in your awesome and strong name. Amen.